Hello, listeners. We are your co-hosts, Janine Bailey and Marie Quigley, for the Empower World Coaching and Leadership Podcast, brought to you by the Ginger Camel Network.
Empower World brings guests who are making a difference to the world to inspire coaches and leaders who lead with mind, heart, and soul.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are in the world. This is Janine Bailey, and today I'm without my business partner, Marie Quigley, and I am with a very special guest today. His name is Sam Patterson. And good afternoon, Sam, in Melbourne, Australia.
Good afternoon, Janine.
Great to connect with you here on this podcast. Thank you for saying yes and being a guest for our 15 minutes or so that we have today.
My absolute pleasure.
Fantastic. So, Sam, I wanted to bring you on board to our podcast because you and I, well, I've met you about 12 months ago now, I think, and I approached you about supporting me on my MCC master certification process. So I interviewed a number of MCC coaches that I found online, and you were one of them, and I was super impressed with you. And as you know, I've worked with you over the last 12 months, nearly 12 months. More than a mentor, you've certainly coached me as well, and so I've really appreciated the journey that I've gone on with your support. So really wanted to bring you on this podcast to bring in your insights and support the coaches and the leaders who listen to this podcast with your wealth of knowledge. So I'll just hand over to you, Sam, to introduce yourself and your background.
Thank you, Janine. Well, let me say it has been a joy to work with you. I find you to be a wonderful person as well as a wonderful coach, so that makes the process very easy for the two of us. And I've really enjoyed working with you thus far. It's always a pleasure to watch people flourish, and particularly when they bring a natural skill set like you do, as well as the coaching skills they have. So,
thank you very much.
To introduce myself, I live in a town of 43 people, soon to become 44 with the impending birth of our first child, which is very exciting. Living down the Great Ocean Road in Victoria, I spend my spare time in the very frigid waters down here surfing. We have a wonderful family life. On a professional front, I am a leadership coach and have been for a number of years. I'm an ICF Master Certified Coach, and I love coaching. I run a coach training school for health coaches, and a lot of my work now is around coaching leaders and others who are interested in developing health coaching skills around the development of their coaching skills so that they can make a positive impact on the people around them and the world. So my number one driver from that sense is to bring about more excellent and highly skilled coaches in the world.
Wow, what a brilliant vision, and a great niche that you're working in, supporting the health coaching aspect. And I know that there are so many people who are interested in health coaching and becoming a health coach. So a wonderful niche. So thank you for sharing, Sam. And yes, a beautiful part of the world that you're living in. So and hopefully I'll be down there sometime soon. So Sam, I wanted to just tap into your wealth of knowledge, and what do you believe? So for the coaches that are listening out there, what do you believe are perhaps some of the best tips or advice you could give a coach who is potentially looking to perhaps move into ACC or PCC or even MCC? And maybe that's too big a question, but curious to hear what you say.
We'll have a go at it then. I think that the same principle applies to all levels, no matter what level of credential that a coach may or may not be applying for. The very first and most important piece of the puzzle is our presence as coaches and as people. Being able to be in the moment so that we can fully hear someone and to be able to appreciate their unique perspective of the world and to make it all about the client rather than ourselves. So coming from a place of presence that informs our listening, coming from a place of presence that helps us to be curious, and using our presence, our listening and our curiosity to then be able to ask really powerful questions, to be able to incorporate language that says that we're hearing our clients and that we get them, coming from a place that we can share what we're noticing, you know, in the form of messages or observations or feedback in a way that we're not attached to the outcome, but, it, you know, we're saying it in a way that we're hoping will have maximum impact for our clients in the direction that they're wanting to head. So it might be about the context for the session or potentially for their greater coaching plan overall. So it's all beginning with the presence. We want to be curious. We want to listen well. We want to ask great questions based on that and also be able to give messages that have impact. And I think the other great thing that underpins all that is our ability as coaches to be able to create really strong and trusting relationships. And I guess when you talk about trust as a coach, from my perspective, there's three key pieces to that. There's trust in our own coaching skills. And I think some of the time, particularly the more advanced we become as coaches, the more we need to let go of feeling that we have to add value and just trusting in ourselves and knowing that the skills are deep within us and that they'll come out at the right time so that we can be more present to what's happening with our client rather than to what's going on in our own heads. So the first type of trust is within our own coaching skills. The second type of trust, from my perspective, is trust in the coaching partnership that and in the coaching process, that it will unfold as it is meant to and that every session gets to where it's meant to be. But the third part of trust from my perspective that's most important that I think is, you know, that coaches really need to get is that we need to trust our clients. You know, that we have a look at the ICF definition of coaching, and part of it is around our clients being creative, resourceful and whole. So we're saying that they've got everything they need within them or that they can find it and that they don't need fixing. And as soon as we get that, coaching can be more about us being able to explore and being curious and working with our clients as true partners so that they can begin to see new opportunities and so that the future as they want it to be can begin to unfold. So I think the more it becomes about us truly trusting our clients as capable, as resourceful, as, you know, perfectly fine as they are, the more we can be present, the greater questions we can ask, the better messages we can give, and overall, the greater the outcome from the coaching can be. So how does that sound?
Yeah, it sounds awesome. And I totally, totally concur with what you've just shared, Sam. And the coaching presence is, I believe, is the thing. Once we've got that, then everything else potentially can fall into place. So especially effective listening and asking those questions when we are truly being present. And as you say, the trust in self, the trust in the partnership, and I think most of all, trust in your client is such a powerful thing that once we master those aspects, then it just really becomes very easy to be with our client and support them to create the change that they want. I as a mentor myself and training other coaches that go through our programs and come onto our mentoring programs, that I hear it over and over again, that lack of trust in the client, where the coach is believing that they've got to do a whole lot of work to fix their client. So, I think that's wonderful what you've shared.
It's a really interesting one. Yeah, we were on a group mentoring call the other day, and there was we were talking, the topic was direct communication. We were talking about the need that coaches feel to add value, to say something worthwhile, to get the message right. But really, it's about the client deciding whether the message is right for them. Same with the question. Has it hit the mark? Is it powerful for me? It's not about us as coaches feeling that I have to have a powerful question. I have to have a great message or observation or insight. We just give what we notice in the moment or ask what we're feeling in the moment based on all the information we're getting. And then it's up to the client. And that is, again, from my perspective, coming back to trusting the client to make the right choice about whether a message, whether a question, whether something in the moment is right for them. So the less it becomes about us as coaches, the more it becomes about our clients, the better.
Yeah, I really like that statement that you have just said then. The less it becomes about us and the more it becomes about the client, the better. Yeah, powerful. And so, Sam, what do you believe are the skills or the things that a coach can do to really create that presence, to be present with their client?
Ooh, that is a very interesting question. I think the actual process of becoming present is different for everybody. Some coaches will have a way to become more still, more grounded, more present before they coach. For others, it's just really about being attuned to the client from the very first moment of the coaching conversation, and wanting to be curious about how the person's shown up, who they are when they show up, and wanting to find out more about them. I think that can be a very helpful thing to use as a tool for us becoming present, is to have a real desire to learn more about the person we're coaching. That can help us to be present, because it's hard to be curious without presence. For me, this is going to sound a little crazy, but surfing is the best thing for my presence, because when I'm out in the ocean, the rhythm of the ocean, the set waves that come, the energy, the tide, everything, all the movement in the water, I've got to be aware of it all the time. So when I surf, I'm just thinking about surfing. I'm just thinking about the ocean. I'm just thinking about the waves. And that, I guess, is a stillness or a clarity that I have out there that then translates to my coaching. In saying that, though, it's a really interesting one. Some of us people will go and live in a cave for 8 years and meditate to try and become more present. Doesn't necessarily work. Those of us who feel we're present most of the time still have, big lapses or small lapses. And I think the key thing for coaches is to figure out what works for us. And in the moment that we notice we're drifting, just to say that's okay and bring ourselves back. And particularly if, we're talking with newer or less experienced coaches, it's totally fine to say to a client, hey, I just got ahead in my mind there. Can we bring it back to the present? Or, hey, I just got a little caught up in thinking about something. Can we do whatever that brings us back to the now? So the key bit for us as coaches to remember is that we're not perfect. We do our best to be present, but when we drift, we've just got to do whatever we can to bring it back as quickly as possible to be connected again. And using that presence as a basis to really connect with our client allows us to understand them so much more.
That's beautiful. And yes, we are human, so I really like that advice that we can say to our clients, I've drifted for a moment. Can we come back? So I think that's a really useful thing to share with our audience. And I'm just curious, Sam, you mentioned the presence that you create when you're out there on the surf, which doesn't sound crazy at all to me, being really present in the water and the conditions that you're in. I'm just curious, how do you bring that into your coaching practice? What's the connection there?
Yeah, I don't do anything deliberate. I think it just over time it's evolved, so it's there when I need it. It's a really interesting one. I can't think of anything in particular that I've done to sort of translate that presence. I just feel that the more I surf, the more present I am in my day-to-day life, which translates to my coaching as well. Mm-hmm. I would say that one thing that had really been useful was in the process of applying for credentials with the ICF and submitting recordings is the practice of actually recording sessions, because you can be acutely aware of that recording taking place when you're coaching, and it means that you feel there's some sort of performance anxiety. And over time, the letting go or releasing of that anxiety or tension around having your sessions recorded means, I think, that you can more easily slip into just being present with the client and truly trying to connect. And I think the actual process of I guess seeing more results, the more your coaching improves, is reward for that desire to truly connect with people. So there's probably a couple of things at play. The ocean's naturally transferred itself into some more presence in my day-to-day life and coaching, but also the more I've seen that my coaching has added value to people, the more connected I want to be with them, the more curious I naturally am. So kind of a twofold thing.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. And of course, we know as more experienced coaches that in the beginning it is challenging, as it was for me. I don't know about you, Sam, to be able to get really present with our client, not be in our head thinking about what we've got to do next, get it right, etc., etc. Those things that you mentioned at the beginning, that the trust in self, the partnership in the clients, potentially it does take time to really trust in that trust, so to speak.
Yeah. Absolutely it does. And one of the really interesting things, as you know too, when you are teaching people coaching, you know, and coaching skills, and we talk about presence and active listening, and we're totally I think it's full of irony, but we then say to people, here's, you know, potentially a coaching model that you can use, and you're going to need to be familiar with the questions. You're going to need to understand the structure and process of coaching. For some people, that's reading off a model while they're asking questions, and then we're saying we'll be present at the same time. So I think the message is there. It's okay to not know how to coach instinctively and naturally from the outset, but learn a model or learn a way of coaching, learn structure for a really useful coaching conversation, because the more you understand and know the structure, the more you can play around the edges, the more you can be aware and present to your own self and what's going on in you, as well as present to your clients when you're coaching. So I think for all of us, we need to know what is a structured coaching conversation, what are the sort of the core elements of it, and really know that well. Even sometimes with questions, you know, a formulate question isn't a powerful one, but the more we understand when to ask formulate questions, the better we can get over time at listening to our instincts and being present to our clients and asking powerful questions based on the information we're given. But without that first understanding of structure, it makes it really hard just to go with the flow. So people should just go easy on themselves, I think, when they begin coaching, and understand that it will happen over time.
Yes, absolutely. We say be kind to yourself, scuff your knees, learn from the scuffing, and over time you'll step into your brilliance and it'll become easy, effortless, natural, as it becomes second nature.
Gee, that sounds good.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Might have got that from somebody. Well, Sam, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you today. Thank you so much for your time. And as we wrap up this recording, is there anything else that you would like to impart to our audience before we wrap up?
Whew. I guess one of the biggest lessons for me as a coach and going along the path of evolution that a coach has and becoming more advanced in my skills, and, of course, that opens up more and more, I think one of the things I've found is that the more we progress as coaches, the more it becomes important to explore and to be curious rather than to look for solutions and outcomes in coaching. And the more we drop our desire to have to add value or have to get a client to a solution, and the more time we can spend in exploration about who our client is and where they want to get to, the more value the coaching adds just by default. So that'd be the thing that I'd like to share.
And that is fantastic sharing and advice for any coach, new and older. So thank you so much, Sam, for that brilliant tip and for sharing all your insights today. Really appreciate your time. And thank you, Sam, for joining us on our podcast.
My absolute pleasure, Janine. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. So good night, good afternoon, good morning again, wherever you are. Have a brilliant day, and we look forward to catching up with you next time.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about us by going to gingercamel.com and clicking on network. You can also find us on our website,
www.empower-world.com and on our social media networks, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Be empowered.